Okay, everyone. Good afternoon. I hope everyone had a wonderful Shavuos. It's definitely definitely a unique one. Definitely one to remember for the ages. Definitely not your standard classic Shavuos. Depending on where you live, that could mean many different things. But either way, though, in terms of at least during this Tkufa, during this whole coronavirus, you could definitely tell, though, at least. You know, there's like they say during the period of Sfira is almost it's a time to be mitaking, like it's a, you know to fix things and sort of you know to work on yourself. You're supposed to see yourself growing and improving, but even you know we're not fully there yet. But you could see in terms of at least the coronavirus that Baruch Hashem things are slowly starting to pick up. Again, depending where you live, that could mean the change in terms of what's going on in the world is slightly different. But you could tell, from where we were standing we were counting the first night of the Omer and the second night of Pesach, we're in a much, much darker place. In terms of where we're holding with this world pandemic, as opposed to seven weeks later, you could tell throughout the days and throughout the weeks, there's been some type of improvement. But and hopefully, again, we should take that the chizik that we got from Kabbalah Satorah and use it moving forward. And again, the chizik and the strength from Kabbalah Satorah and the fact that Rebbe Zeshem we're going to use to strengthen our learning should also serve again as a schus. To help the rest of the world and to hopefully get back things back to normal as soon as possible. Parshas Baaloscha. The ideas which I wanted to speak about all mainly center around Moshe Rabbeinu, different aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to work backwards. The ideas today are going to be we're going to be working it backwards from towards the end of the parsha to towards the beginning of the parsha. So the first idea I want to speak about is the anav of Moshe Rabbeinu. We know the pasuk in Perek Yud Beis pasuk Gimel in the seventh aliyah says as follows: V'ha'ish Moshe anav meod mikol adam asher al pinei ha'adama, and Moshe was he was very humble, and he was the most humble man in the world, on earth, ever. The greatest anav of all time. So in terms of to really understand that, that's not so simple that it happened to be, again, we're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're speaking about probably one of the greatest human beings of all time. One of the most, probably the closest person to Kadosh Baruch of all time. So a person who is, so great, yet ironically is also the biggest anav of all time. How do you match that up? We say that Moshe was an anav. However, let's think about it. He was the one that brought the Torah down from Shemayim. He was considered the manig, the leader, the navi of Klal Yisrael. He, again, even at times in which other people tried to take leadership, when Korach and Korach's chevra tried to rebel, Moshe refused to dish out any kavod and to honor and to give any jobs or tafkidim to Korach. So again, the question begs to ask again. So how does the Torah define him as again the greatest anav ever? The greatest honor on the earth, while he had all this covenant and had all this honor. So the Cholos Halavavos answer is based on giving a yesod in Anava regarding the midah of Anava. The Cholos Halavavos, and many would say, is one of the big three Musar Sfarim. We speak about learning Musar Sfarim. We speak about Mesilas Yesharim, written by the Ramchal, right? The Cholos Halavavos, and the Shari Tshuva, written by Rabbi Yonah. Many people have the midah to try to learn Shari Tshuva during El. Okay, so he says that you have to understand what exactly is anava. Moshe had anava. You can have anava and you can also be great. So he says anava is really, again, understand. You can recognize that there's godless. You can recognize that you have special talents, special abilities. You can recognize that you're great. But the yesod of anava is to understand where did that greatness come from? Where did those special talents, where did those kochos come from? It's about recognizing that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately decides who has strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides everyone's strengths and weaknesses. when a person is very good, whether it be again in learning, whether it be in sports or special talents, he doesn't align himself. A person can understand he has special abilities, but the yesod of anava is to understand that it's not that it's natural, or it's not that you did it all. It's not that you did it all. You worked for it, and it's all you know. Hard work pays off. There's also a certain amount of special siyat deshmaya that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say this every day we're supposed to say this during Shmoneh Esrei, right? The first bracha, right? Hakel, Agadol, Hanor, right? Bracha Hashem, Elokeinu, 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 Yaakov, Hakel, Agadol, Hanor, Hakel, Agadol, Hakadosh, Hanor, Elyon. Right, we speak about that Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're great. We thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for all of our success, whatever. But right away, it's about recognizing that it all comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, v'zorcha chasdei avos, gomel chasadim tovim v'konei hakol. He created everything. He created everything. He created every person. Any talent that a person has, any special abilities, all comes from the Ribono Shel. So that's such a yesod again that a person needs to constantly think true again what we're doing is good. What you might have special abilities, but again in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of us versus us compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're nothing. We're small. And instead that's exactly what Rav Chatzka Levenstein adds, that again that it's the idea of thinking that we're small. But again, but meaning without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would be small. Meaning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us. The fact that we're great, the fact that we have special kochos is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're nothing. And again, even though that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the stuff, gave us the abilities, we're great, but that's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Yesod of Anava. To deepen that a little bit, it requires a certain amount of the truth is the yesod is again the more a person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks him for things and he depends on him, he depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person begins to realize that hey, I'm really not that's really the ultimate development of anava. Anava means you're being humble, you're admitting that hey, I can't do XYZ without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so please help me. Recognizing that yes, that there's a Ribono Shel who can ultimately has the final word in terms of saying who gets what and who's able to do what. The Rambam in Shmoneh Prakim in the Hakdama speaks about the Midos and the Anav of Moshe Rabbeinu. That actually was the basis of Moshe's Nevuah. The fact that he was able to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and prophecies were revealed to him were primarily based on his character, the character trait of Anava, the fact that he was humble. And this is such an important resource to use in terms of ultimately the truth is in achieving the yisod of godless adam. A person is supposed to realize that hey, we are the Am HaNivchar, we are great. The Jewish people were strong. You should take a lot of pride in that. And what you are doing, and what people are doing at home, or in the Beis Medrash, or in the work field, trying to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and all these things, it's great. But understanding where it came from, there's a source. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nowadays. It's in secular society, anava is something that's very not flashy. It's not classy. It's not popular. Being humble, and no one wants to see that on TV. No one wants to see that on the media. People want to see show us who's boss. Show us who's great. Show off your talents. But in Yadus, it's a very, very, very important yesod in terms of growth as an Eved Hashem, and also as an Aben Torah, and also trying to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like again, it's just very, very practical level. I used to say about Rabbi Kiva Eger that people. he would people would write tshuvas to him, and again, Rabbi Akiva Yeager was a massive genius. The Gadol HaDor, there was no one in his generation that was on his level in terms of thinking, and he would get shilas, and then they would obviously address Rabbi Akiva Yeager as Moron, Rashi Kibahag, Posek Gador, Hagoyin, Hagadol, Hatzadik, all these things. Rabbi Akiva Yeager, he would respond in the tshuvas. He would also write. He would address each person that was asking the question in the same way as Moron, Hagoyin, Hagadol, Posek, Pier, Ador, Vador, Rabban Shakopane Agolo, all these things. And people were like, oh, so what does that mean? He's an anuf that he thinks that everyone, wow, such an anuf that he thinks everyone is on his level, whatever. The pshat is on his son, I don't really understand it. Rabbi Akiva Yeager knew his kohos. He knew that he was that he was probably the smartest posek alive. But he understood that it wasn't him. It was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's such a yisod to understand, moving forward in life. That again, it's important to be proud of our accomplishments. It's important to reflect on how hard we worked, on how hard we worked in order to achieve those accomplishments. But it's very, very important ultimately to recognize that the source of those accomplishments came from the Ribono Shalom himself. Ad kan idea number one. Idea number two. We find with Moshe Rabbeinu a little earlier in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Shvi, the Bnei Yisrael started complaining. They were in the desert. He gave them man, even though the man had this whole miracle. Bnei Yisrael still wanted more. They wanted meat, so you have to ask for the slav. V'chule. And the pasuk says over there, Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, Lama Harayosa Leavdecha. Moshe asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did you do this to me? Why me? I'm your closest Eved, I'm your closest Talmud. Why are you being so mean to me? Why are you really punishing me and putting this burden of Bnei Yisrael constantly complaining? I can't take it anymore. And the Sforno actually notes that there's actually a chilek. He brings down an idea regarding chinuch habanim. Ultimately, often, there's parents and parents who have children. A lot of times, there's arguments in the household between. There's a lot of times there's a certain conflict or clashes between parents and children. Parents want to do it their way. Kids want to do it their way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the children trust the parents. Whether they listen to them or not, they truly understand that the parents have the children's best interest in mind because they love them. However, regarding the relationship between Moshe and Ben Israel, really the truth is it wasn't like that. Ben Israel was always complaining, but they didn't even trust Moshe during that kufa. They were just constantly testing him. They were trying to really test the leader, would he crack under pressure? And the truth is we find this idea even furthermore when a couple of psukim later in Yud Aleph Yud Aleph, when Moshe requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu special help. Right in Yud Aleph Yud Aleph, it says, "Lo uchal anochi levadi lasis kol amazek ki kaved meni." It's too much. I can't handle it. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me some zakenim to help. And the Rabban notes is that the help that Moshe was requesting was not to bring meat or to satisfy all their complaints. Rather, what he just wanted to neutralize the complaints. It was too much. He didn't want to hear it anymore. And you could be medag that again. The fact that Moshe, it was hard for him. He was trying again. He was complaining. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is too hard. But Moshe, you could tell, you could be medag from what's going on here, is that Moshe wasn't only just a manhig, it wasn't just a navi, rather he was also serving as a father figure for Bnei Yisrael, which again, true is hard, and true Bnei Yisrael didn't really respond in an appropriate manner, but you could tell that was the godless of Moshe, that again, when he was trying to help Bnei Yisrael, not just as a way of a leader, but even as a father would love his own son, and again, having their best interests in mind. This is also again, the Chavetz Chaim also brings down this. This is such a yesod regarding parents educating their children. that the truth is, again, every parent, every father, every mother has a special achrayas, that when they bring children in the world, they have a special chiyuv in which they need to teach their children and make sure they need to make sure that their kids are staying on the derech hayasher. And that's zchus. They're not allowed to nullify that idea. And true, it's hard. Then the truth is, there will be chilukei deos. There will be difference of the opinions, whether it be again between different parents, whether it be between the parents and the children. But there also has to get, and they also get different. Again, it depends on the kid. But that's the assode. The parents need to constant, no matter what the situations are, the parents constantly need to have the mindset that it's their responsibility to ensure that their children are staying on the right path. What does the right path mean? Again, that could mean many different things for many different children, as we know. Famously, it says in Mishle, right? The pasuk says, "Chanuch lenar al pidarko." Educate the youth according to his path. According to Reuven, his path for proper education will require ABC. According for Shimon's education, the proper path will require XYZ. You know, there's an in, right, that exactly is the challenge. We know there's different chinuch, there's different tribes for different types, but the challenge is again to figure that out, to really figure that out. And again, true, kids might not respond at first, but again, ultimately parents have to remember that children ultimately trust parents at the end of the day, even though it might not seem so clearly, because they know the parents have their best interest in mind. Adkan, idea number two. Idea number three, and with this we'll finish, is all the way earlier in the parsha. We speak about the chatzotzros, the trumpets. The pasuk says in Perek Yud. Sorry, it's not mamish in the beginning of the parsha. Rather, somewhere in the middle, around the fourth, fifth aliyah. Perek Yud. The Perek begins right. Vaydabar Hashem Mamo Shalemo. Ase lecha shnei chatzotzros kesef miksha. Tasa osava yulacha limikra haidala masa esma es hamachanos. So Paul says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, make for yourself two silver trumpets. Right? You should carve them out, hammer them out, and they should be yours. When you should use them, when you want to gather the Eda. And you should use them again before, you know, to cause all the camps, you know, when it's time to move out. It should serve as an alarm to gather up. Rashi, a couple times here, is actually medayik about this whole thing about ase lecha. First, the first diak is that it should only be for you. So, right, says Rashi, first of all, Ase Lecha, the second Ase Lecha says Mishalcha, it should be made only by you. The third Ase Lecha is Ase Lecha, says Rashi, Ata Oseh, you should make, right? Umishtamish Behem Velo Acher, only you should use it and no one else should use it. And the first Rashi also says, "Shayu Tokin Lefanecha Kemelech." You should blow this thing almost like a Melech would. Maybe sure in Melech, right? So we see from basic Pshat and Rashi that these trumpets were special Kli Kodesh, special honor, special Kavadik Kalim that were only designated for Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it was his chiyuv to assemble, and it was only for him to use. And again, this also meaning because that was Moshe Rabbeinu because he was holy, and also again it was Domei LaMelech again according to Pshat Rashi. Again, it was also super unique. It was only to Moshe. Not even Yoshua used it. How do we know this? We know this all the way in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Vayelech, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, I believe, right? Rashi there says over there as well, Rashi Lishitaso, right? Hekilu Eli, Velo Taku Oso Ayom Bechatzosis Lahakila Sakal, Lefishanema Ase Lecha. No one else, even Yoshua, shouldn't be blowing from it. Only you, Moshe Rabbeinu, only you are Domin Lamelech, and only you are on that certain level of Kedusha. Shanema Ase Lecha, right? Velo Hishal Yoshua Lem, even Yoshua shouldn't do this. And it says even it said Nignizu Kodem Yomoso or Biyomoso. Lekai Mashinemar Vein Shildem Yomamavis. These trumpets were also so holy again that even Yeshua couldn't blow from them. And also at right before Moshe was about to die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to hide them, to bury them somewhere. So this way, no one would use them because they were only designated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, even Yeshua, the prime Talmud Muvak of Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't even allowed to use that. And we know that Yeshua was also, again, he wasn't no Stamploni. He was a manik, and he brought Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and again, he also had nevuah, but still, he was not even on that level. And we understand here, just a simple yisod on a basic level, we understand the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the fact that Moshe was such a gadol, both benigle and benister throughout the process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu viewed him as someone who, again, in the on and off the court, in the action, and even behind the scenes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu viewed Moshe as very, very holy and almost, and he was almost Doma Lamelech, almost similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level, but he was most certainly very, very close, as we clearly see here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated these trumpets for him in particular. But not only the trumpets, the entire process from again assembling them to using them, and again even when Moshe was finished using them, burying them away, as opposed to other things we find again in the Mishkan and all these things that Moshe used, Aaron used, all these things, the other people that assembled them, but these chatzotzos, again, they represent the call of the Eidah, the call of the Kehila, clearly show that again that Moshe was really their leader, and only Moshe was the one who was ro'i to use them. So to summarize again, three different ideas about that show the godless of Moshe, again not necessarily in the most open way, but rather, you know, who really did the godless of Moshe, who he was behind the scenes, again that A, that he was a tremendous anav, B, he wasn't just a classic leader, rather he also represented a father figure, and C, again he was someone who was very, very kadosh and domel melech, both on a nigla level and also on a nister level. Yashar koach, have a wonderful day.